All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown. We got an awesome episode for you today. Happy Friday. We are going to be diving into all the macro headlines. Is it a buy? Is it a sell into the weekend with oil, gold, silver, and of course, crypto, which is showing strength. We're going to break that down for you. Plus a ton of news around different offerings. BlackRock is making moves once again with their Ethereum ETF. We have some interviews that we want to check out and show you what the ETH A versus ETH B difference is for the new offerings that they just announced. And one of them involves staking. So you're going to want to stick around for that. But the main course today is Brian with our great friend Joe from the Momentum Moneymakers here. So on the second half of the show, we're going to be talking all things momentum, going over what's in the news around the meme coins and NFTs, and also going over some of their trades, which again, they're always finding awesome trades. And we've talked about them before on the show with a lot of action, a lot of winners. So that's the fun part to end our week on this Friday the 13th. Was waiting for the news to drop this morning around the macro headlines and the macro numbers, boys. I was a little worried it was Friday the 13th, but it was smooth as it can be with everything going on. So welcome to the show, fellas. And Joe, welcome. You haven't been on in a while. How are you, my friend?
I'm feeling good. I just got back from Japan. I didn't get to see Punch the Monkey, but I did see about three or four stuffed animals a punch. So I'll talk more about that in a second.
I love it. Brian, how are you?
We needed the boots on the ground in a desperate way in
got
Japan.
Bit.
Who?
It
who
pushed
got
into
bit?
A pool?
Punch did?
Punch, yeah.
Oh, I feel like Punch is a bit over, but you might be able to deliver us alpha. I haven't looked at the coin for a while, but it's probably not great.
It's not.
I need to look, but I was hoping that you were going to bring back some other cute animal meta, you know, like some baby seal or something was born. And but unfortunately, we didn't get that alpha, or at least not quite yet. You never know later in the show. But to wrap it up, man, I'm doing great. We got some green markets here, so can't complain about that.
We do. We're going to pull up CoinMarketCap in a second. But before I do that, last episode, Brian and I were having a lot of fun in the comments. And we had people from India, New Zealand, Australia. I just wanted to give a shout out to a Spotify comment we got from our friend Nataman over in Bangkok. She said, love the episode. Don't forget that you have an audience in Bangkok, too. Guys, we're a global platform here at Crypto 101. We couldn't be more excited about it. Let's see how active the chat can get today. Let us know where you are. I see CJE in there. The great Habish is back. Let's see. That's not really a name. It's just a tag, but fan something. What's going on? Let us know where you're at, where you're tuning in from today on this amazing Friday as we break down the crypto markets as we do this week. And fellas, I got to be honest, I was with some friends last night. We were at there's a music festival this weekend that I'll be attending close to my home. And so I was with some friends. We got some dinner. We went down to check out some live music. And I keep getting these notifications on my phone. Green, Pudgy Penguin, green, Bitcoin, green, Solana, green, Bitcoin, green. I'm like, what's going on? And a couple of Grant, I was with Grant, friend of the show, of course. He's in the chat all the time, and he's like showing me, he's like, oh, I'm getting these notifications. And I'm thinking like, ah, oh, that's, I don't know, that might not last overnight with everything that's going on. But sure enough, fellas, is crypto back? It's time to say it. 7 days here on the coin market cap all the way to the right. You can see the 24 hours like we talked about. Almost 2% for the coin market cap, 20, Bitcoin 2, Ethereum 3. Let's scroll down here. Any big winners over the last 24 hours? Nothing too crazy, but over the week, you'll love to see it. The 25, Bitcoin almost 5, Ethereum 8, a little bit of strength there. Solana 6.5. Guys, what are you taking from this? A lot of strength in the market, a lot of turmoil around the world.
Yeah. I'll start it off a little bit. The interesting thing is, TiVo, is that we're seeing the strength in the crypto market. While gold, I think over the past like week or past few days has been down, seen some red days in the stock market. So like part of me, we're still trading in that range. You know, it's the high end of that range we've been talking about. So I really want to see us bust through and hold that. And then we have like, you know, Michael Saylor in these stretch buys and he's probably pounded in, but it's the whole market. It's a whole crypto market overall. It doesn't even feel like the Bitcoin buys. I mean, Saylor's moving the needle there, but it's everything. There's like Pudgy Penguins, Ethereum, some meme coins are going off, and that's not even that typical. When like the majors are moving, that meme coins are following with them. So it just feels like there is a little bit different vibe or around the entire crypto market. I don't want to get a head faked. You know, I'm very cautious about what's happening. So I can't declare crypto is back, but I do feel like the vibes are a little bit back. You know, the group chats are getting a little bit fiery. People are sharing screenshots here and there. There's a couple meme coin or AI runners like peeking their head out. So it's great to see. And this is all while kind of gold in the stock market's a little red. Is Bitcoin turning into getting that like digital gold safe haven look? The interesting thing is, I'm going to kick it over to Joe, is this is all happening while we're in this conflict with Iran. That's another part of it that's kind of like tricking me, that while other assets aren't performing quite as well and we have these geopolitical issues, which have been typically not the greatest thing for Bitcoin and crypto, but we're seeing a lot of money flow into it. So I'm fired up for it. I hope it keeps up though.
Yeah, Joe, what are you feeling? What are the vibes?
I mean, I'm feeling good because it seems like I brought the market back after coming back from my little getaway. To Brian's point, when there's uncertainty in the markets, there's typically uncertainty in crypto also. It's good to see that the reverse is happening. I was talking to Brian before yesterday. I'm like, there's probably no more sellers and we don't want to get faked out, but it seems like a rotation is happening, and where the rotation is coming from, we will find out as it unfolds this coming week.
Yeah, as the vibes guy online, I mean, traditionally, especially in the traditional markets, traditionally you'll see people sell off into the weekend, you know, because the traditional markets are going to be closed Saturday, Sunday. What's going to go on? And just kind of, again, sharing this tab here, like overnight, you're seeing, you know, rallying into, you know, dinner time, I'm the East Coast, but, you know, rallying into the late evening, you see 50 billion added in just 3 hours into the crypto market, which I thought was really interesting. Watching that, seeing that on my phone while I was out and being like, oh, that'll just, you know, that's going to sell off by the time the morning comes. And I say that because if you bring up the S&P 500, there was a rally this morning. I don't know what happened. The futures sold off in the morning here. And then there was this rally. There was this rally. Again, same thing. Every morning, these futures, there's not a lot of liquidity. It's always selling off. And then there's this rally. I'm listening to the programs. I'm always flipping around between like 8 and 10 trying to get, you know, a variety of takes of what's the vibe today. And everybody was, it was green shoots everywhere. It was green shoots everywhere. I mean, and the crypto stocks were rallying. I saw BitMine was up like 10% at one point. Whoa. Coinbase was rallying. And then as you could see here, as the day went off again, traditionally this, I saw that at 10, I was like, I don't know, man, I love to see the crypto strength, but I can't imagine that this S&P strength is going to hold into the weekend when we don't know what's going on, unless somebody knows something that we don't, which is, tends to always be the case. But you got to look at oil too. And just, again, the week long, the oil, you know, there's spikes and downs here, but pretty, I mean, the top there was last Sunday, obviously. We talked that on the show, Brian. I showed you some text there, a little sharp. I guess that's the one thing we'll give. I'm short. This is not personal financial advice for anybody, but for the longtime listeners that come week in and week out, I'll put myself out there on an island. I'm short oil right now, and it's a small unit play, but it's a fun one to just, you know, a little bit of maybe some gambling. I just, for some, there's something tells me that this can't go on too long. That's just my take on it. And then once that pressure valve gets released, I think the markets fly higher altogether. But I just love that crypto's showing some extra strength right now. And I think you see that the most in something that we've been tracking on this show. We'll pull up the Fear Greed Index. I'm going off script here, fellas, a little bit, just kind of where my train of thought's going right now.
You're so short oil, man. You're probably taking a bike everywhere. You're not trying to contribute to it at all.
Carpooling. We're going to the festival. I like it. We'll drive down. We're taking one car. Everybody.
Yeah. I put this out in the public. Don't be eating up that oil.
That's so funny. That's great. I love that.
I drive electric.
There you go. Thank you, Joe. So again, Fear Greed Index, we covered it for a while at one point for a week straight, a month straight. We're in extreme fear. I mean, we're on the brink of World War III. And we're about to get into neutral here, fellas.
Yeah, don't hate it. I mean, I don't hate it. I'm not going to get faked out, but I'll tell you what, the the vibes overall, that's the best way to put it, are feeling a little bit back in the crypto market. I don't want to get faked out, but it feels good. It feels good trading in the 70s finally, right, when it felt so gross and so nerve-wracking. And now we're in the 70s, and I'm like, maybe I'll defrost a ribeye tonight. You know, we can make it happen.
We can make it happen. I love it. I don't think, the least for our show specifically, nobody came on and inside the community and said, you know, that's the bazooka time to release and buy the dip. But I do think we were very constructive. That was the word we kept using, right? We're very constructive at these price levels. We're very constructive looking for opportunities. And I know that's something that you guys constantly talk about inside your group, Momentum Moneymakers. And we've covered some of those winners, and we'll do more later in the show. But and same thing with, you know, Crypt Nation. It's like, hey, we're constructive at these levels. Hyperliquid was another one, right? We've talked about that. It's like, hey, we're constructive here. It's not a, you know, blindfold pin the tail on a crypto and it's going to go up 5x. There's certainly times where that can happen, but we were constructive at the price levels. We thought there was some, at least some spots to deploy capital, and it does feel good when you get that kind of, hey, the tide's lifting at least all the boats a little bit, especially with the macro and how weak it's been traditionally. So I think there's some reasons for that, and that's where we're going to transition to here, is the Bitcoin ETF demand is looking pretty tasty. The demand flipped back into positive territory. It's something that we're tracking. And it's been strong overall. We've covered, even during the downdraft, there wasn't a huge rush to the exits, right? There wasn't a fire sale inside the ETFs. We were applauding all the boomers for their, you know, HODL strategy, if you will. But demand has flipped positive, which you know, is again exciting to see, which makes sense with the price action. So anything around the Bitcoin ETF you guys are seeing or like to see?
I'm contributing. I'm buying all the time.
Joe's doubling down on the ETFs. It's great. Just like you said, TiVo, there's not a lot of flushing out, and there's been some real positive days. And we talk about it on the rundown constantly, all this institutional money and institutional interest. You have like the biggest people around in the crypto industry jumping on the podcast, the Crypto 101 podcast, and they're all kind of preaching the same thing about how these ETFs aren't short-term retail buyers. They're people that are looking to hold, and we're seeing some more positive inflows, and I think they're going to continue. We said it a few weeks ago, and I've been preaching this range and choppiness. That's the word of the past couple of months, but it felt like we did hit a local bottom there. I'm not sure like if we're going to return, but because I don't want to get head faked, but it really did feel like we hit a local bottom there, and we were kind of calling it without calling it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be on the hook with us like having this Iran war happening, but the crypto market did something. If you told me we were going to go to war with Iran and there's going to be all these geopolitical issues, I would never have expected, in gold going down, I would never have expected that the crypto market would have shown so much strength. So I love it. And these ETFs are probably a really big reason why. There's not a lot of people selling.
Yeah, again, I think it's worth noting that we kind of coined this term like the rotating casino, right? It was, you know, crypto was the casino at one point. Then it was gold and silver. I'll pull up silver real quick, down 5% on the day. Thought it was a store of wealth. At one point it was 120, now it's 80. Is silver in a bear market? You could ask the question. Obviously, over the course of, you know, the year, it's had a crazy gain, but just the volatility in that. And now I think it's... what's the word? Fertilizer. Like fertilizer's going crazy. These fertilizer stocks are up 30-40%. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Fertilizer stocks are going through.
Is this a new meta I need to get into? Is fertilizer stocks?
Fertilizer stocks. They're saying
there
they
goes
can't
my
get,
weekend.
Yeah, it had some, you know, the energy trade was affecting the fertilizer and people are rocking up. I can pull that up. I think, and then just staples too, like Smucker's, jellies and jams. Let's see, like jam Smucker's stock. Let's pull that up.
Well, so one of my good friends is like head of like operations or like one of those roles at for Uncrustables.
There you go.
I might have an insider here, boys.
It's just like the year to date for Smucker's is 10%. The valuation was already full going into the year. It's like, all right, are these jellies and jams curing cancer, or is it a flight to like safety? The people are starting to ask questions. So it's the money's rotating around, and that's another theme that we've said on this show a lot of times, right? The money's not leaving the market. The S&P is what, 3% off of all-time highs or something like that? So it's, if the money was running out of the markets, then there would be a much larger correction. Instead, we saw the correction in crypto. We saw the correction, especially in software, which I think this show has been really great at keeping tabs on. But it's really, really fun to keep seeing the strength of crypto. And again, the ETFs are a huge part of it. So I have a clip here of BlackRock talking exactly what Brian said of like, hey, the people that are buying this are educated. They're educated investors for the long term. So let's hear what the BlackRock is preaching about the Bitcoin ETFs, and then we'll transition right into their newest offering, which is an Ethereum staking ETF.
I think what's really notable, and there's been some confusion, you know, in various corners of the internet about this, is how resilient those flows have been and how disproportionately long-term buy and hold fundamental type investors we've seen in these products. You take, you know, Bitcoin and IBIT, for instance, Bitcoin down, you know, almost 50%, obviously from its all-time high that it made in October. The flows in IBIT on a year-to-date basis are actually slightly positive. So there's clearly, there's been a lot of selling pressure elsewhere in the Bitcoin ecosystem, on crypto exchanges, on these offshore levered perps platforms. But the ETF investor base has taken a much steadier, longer term fundamental view of things. The retail contingent actually are some of the most long term focused that we've seen. And they've tended to opportunistically buy the dips. Kind of 90%+ of the investor base. So they're talking about retail direct investors, we're talking about financial advisors, talking about other institutional investors, have tended to be very steady and have been on an accumulation path pretty consistently. If you look at 2025, the number of the top inflowing ETFs in the world that had negative price return, the top 20, there was only one, which was IBIT. So despite negative price moves in Bitcoin, IBIT was fourth in the world and inflows with 26 billion in. So we've just seen that steady accumulation pattern on a long-term basis.
Fellas, what do you think? Do you buy in that? You buy in that long-term basis trade for the Bitcoin ETFs?
Absolutely. I continually buy inside my IRA for tax purposes. So there are educated people there that are doing that for those specific reasons. So yes.
Brian, any takes?
Yeah, big Bitcoin buyer, you know? I dabble a little bit with the ETFs. I buy a little bit of Bitcoin through the exchanges. I'm positive there of where we're headed.
You know what's wild? How many guys hit their 30s and suddenly everything feels harder than it used to? Your energy dips, the focus isn't there anymore, and gym progress stalls. The conversation almost always turns to testosterone. So I've spent a lot of time digging into this, not just the headlines, but actual studies, ingredients research, and talking to people who've gone down the TRT road. And once you really understand what traditional TRT involves, it includes lifelong injections with needles, shutting down your body's natural production, fertility concerns, and it really makes guys pause. That's why I've been paying attention to Mars Men. It's designed as a TRT alternative, not injections, not synthetics, just a stack of well-researched ingredients like Tonga Ali, zinc, and boron that are used to support healthy testosterone function. I've seen the science behind these ingredients, and I personally know guys using it who say they love how steady their energy feels. No spikes, no crashes, and no needles. For a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. Mars Men is made in the USA, third-party tested, and backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. Over 91% of its users report higher energy levels, and the reviews speak for themselves. And again, for a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, free shipping, and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off for life, free shipping, and 3 free gifts. After checkout, make sure you tell them that Crypto 101 sent you.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I love it.
There's more functionality coming too of Bitcoin. A lot of people don't know that staking for Ethereum is huge. Staking for Bitcoin is still coming. Most people don't know. And there's a lot of products I saw today get launched, like a BMI. You guys know PMI, a property mortgage insurance. If you buy a property, not floating the term, is an actual product live now called BMI, Bitcoin Mortgage Insurance, where you can utilize Bitcoin as collateral for housing. I think we've covered that in the past, but it's actually going live now. And that's interesting because the BMI pays into an escrow where, you know, you bought a property, right, TiVo? And I'm not going to tell people where you live, but if people don't have enough for down payment, they pay a PMI that goes into the ether, it goes into nowhere, it goes into the provider. But for BMI, it goes into an escrow account where they split it between the provider, the originator of the loan, and yourself. So if Bitcoin goes up, then the term of your loan can come down significantly, which is very interesting. So Bitcoin still is fairly young compared to all the other iterations of crypto that's out there, like the Ethereums, because Bitcoin is the oldest blockchain, right, that's ever existed. So overall bullish on Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I love that they keep coming out with products, because it's something that, you know, we like to talk about on the show. And then it's interesting once they're announced, that again, it takes time for them to implement. So great, great point out there of something that's actually being implemented. And they're going to be doing the same thing with Ethereum too, right? With the tokenization efforts and all these different, you know, ways that's going to that Ethereum is going to be used. And so I'm going to hand it off to you, Brian, to break down the Ethereum ETF in 1 second, just so people don't think I'm crazy out there. I just wanted to go over the fertilizer stock theory that I was telling you about. It seemed to get a real interest out of you, Brian. So real quick, here's Mosaic. It's one of the leaders in agriculture. And so this week alone, 5 days, Mosaic's up. It was up at one point up here, like 22-23% on the week, because there was just an announcement that this energy shortage of the Strait of Hormuz is going to affect the ingredients needed to make this stuff for the fertilizer. So these fertilizer stocks go up 20% in a week. So again, I'm just trying to point out, like, it's such a headline-driven market right now. Wherever the headline is, kind of like signals, hey, this casino seems to be open for business, which I think can be a little dangerous at times, but people want alpha, people want opportunity. And then I think we all believe that eventually that will come back to crypto. So all these cryptos dead, Bitcoin's dead. I think we all kind of went through that cycle recently, and you know, we've been there before, and we go parse out our new information, and we don't believe that. But there's opportunity hungry investors out there. And, you know, I doubt with all the market cap and investing that went into Mosaic for their fertilizer in the last, you know, 23% in a week. I don't think it's because there's some new technology coming out for people, you know, doing their lawns this year. I think they just saw it as an opportunity to, quote unquote, you know, catch an opportunity and gamble. So that was what I was just trying to say, is there's money moving in many different spaces, trying to front run the next headline of, you know, getting that opportunity. But there's a huge opportunity with BlackRock launching their new Ethereum ETF. ETH-A was the original one. The new one is ticker ETH-B, which will provide staking. So, Brian, I'll hand it off to you. Just kind of tee it up, and then we can have a discussion about it.
Yeah, I have some good feelings about this ETF. I need to go back to this fertilizer stock stuff. If anybody from Hyperliquid or the Hyperliquid team is listening right now, we need to add these fertilizer stocks on their platform so we could start longing and shorting them a little bit. That's we've seen with gold, silver. I mean, if fertilizer stocks is where the new meta momentum is, we need to get this on chain immediately, so we can make some interesting short and long calls. That's all I'm saying about these. We have CJ in the chat even bringing up, I can't be fading the fertilizer stocks. So this is a real talking point, and I absolutely love it because I see the path for riches. Let's talk about real path for riches, though. All jokes aside, so BlackRock releases ETHB. I think it was yesterday on the 12th. And the amazing thing about this is, and I'm trying to fact check it because I heard it and read it a few times. I just wanted to get a reliable source, but I'm 99.9% sure this is correct, or it's like a bro promise. But 82% of the staking rewards go back to the stakers. So, and then it sounds like BlackRock and Coinbase and whoever the custodians are will divvy up that 18%. So this is awesome. This is, we've been talking about these staking rewards forever, and that's a huge, big part of a reason why I think Ethereum could really see some run in the future. Now, my question is for Joe, for you, for anybody in the chat, if I'm buying ETHB, that's the new reward. That's the new staking Ethereum through BlackRock. I need to dig a little bit deeper into this. Why would I not buy ETHB? Why would I ever even buy ETHA? Like, what are we doing? Why wouldn't we just always buy ETHB because we're getting staking rewards?
Just off of a quick Google here from the producer's bay, distributing 82% of these staking rewards to its investors as a monthly cash dividend.
Ooh, sick.
While the 18% is retained by the trust and service providers. So the fund is going to aim, and that's why so remember on the sheet I had 3%. The fund is aiming for a 3-4% annual return based off the dividend. So yeah, what's the point of buying ETHA? I can't think of one personally. Can anybody else on the panel?
No, I was just telling my friend, I went to a trip with him recently. He had a lot of money in BlackRock's ETF. And I told him, I was like, you got to get the staking ETF. And it wasn't out at that point. And I was trying to educate him on staking. It was just like, you don't want to convince people to start taking things off of ETFs and start utilizing, like, no offense to Lido, right? But that's for institutions. But the average person putting in, I don't know, like $250,000 of staking, which is, he had more than $250,000. This ETF is where people is going to flood into. So absolutely, everyone should be buying this.
The only thing I can think of, and we got to read the fine print of the offerings, would ETHA have more liquidity? So if you're getting the dividend and there's the staking aspect of it, even though there might be tons of capital flowing into it, is the liquidity available day to day going to be actually less than what's invested? Because if you're staking, it's going to be locked up in the Coinbase, you know, custodial fund. And then ETHA, obviously you're not getting the dividend, but you can, you know, I don't know, you could long, short, sell calls against, and it's going to be way more liquid. That's going to provide, you know, different types of investors with different options.
The only thing that I can, that's a good point. The only thing I could think of is maybe like taxes. If you were getting like, because you're going to have to pay taxes on those dividends. It doesn't seem like that big of a hassle though. Especially if you're getting a decent amount of money back. But to just piggyback on what you guys are saying is like, any just like the masses, anybody that's interested, sure, you can go to another staking platform and probably get a little bit better yield. Of course you can, but you know, that's a process. There's a higher risk. Anybody that's really interested in staking ETH, I would be like, oh, you should probably look into this ETHB through BlackRock, not financial advice, but that seems like the easiest path to, you know, continue to get pure ETH price and in the upside on ETH in addition to just getting this monthly yield. I think it's awesome. And I think that's why we saw a ton of attention around it yesterday. And I haven't looked at ETH's price, but I'm sure it's strong with the rest of the market. Yeah, over 2,100. So it looks good.
Yeah, and then just the only thing, I'm doing some quick, you know, searches behind the veil here. So the only thing I could see here is if redemption requests exceed the liquid buffer, the fund must begin unstaking ETH from the network, which is subject to the protocol's exit queue. So I think what I said, I guess, makes sense. It's like there's liquidity. Yep. ETHA is going to have, it's not staked, so it's just liquid there. They're probably offering it as like a trading vehicle, right? Trying to get those basis points on options and volatility. And then obviously ETHB staking is, you know, a different way to earn money there. But in some type of high volatility, you could get caught up with the exit queue, which is, you know, just like any other crypto staking protocol. So a lot of great fun news there. Well, definitely something to keep watching and see where the flows go compared to ETHA, ETHB. And then, like, I don't know if you caught that I mentioned Coinbase is the custodian for that. So interesting picture for two massive CEOs worth you know, tons of, you know, a couple billion dollars between the two of those probably, right? Just, I don't know. What's going on there?
Awkward hug.
Yeah, just as a media guy myself, like we could get them some better lighting too. But hey, two huge friends of the show there. Nothing better than our friends from Coinbase and BlackRock. And that's it. If you're interested in working in crypto, BlackRock, Coinbase, where else? Well, let me tell you, in Q1, there's tons of openings. I saw a cool little tweet. I just thought this was interesting just to see, you know, S&P, Bloomberg, State Street, Fidelity, BNY, NASDAQ, Brown Brothers Harriman, head of digital strategy for Brown Brothers Harriman. I've seen a ton of tweets like this. I just pulled one. There was a couple of them that just had tons of opportunities for jobs, mostly honestly around tokenization and a ton of, you know, digital asset strategy. It goes back to the building around this industry has not stopped. While price action has not been favorable for those involved, the building, I think, has not stopped, whether you're listening to this podcast and all the amazing guests that we've had over the last couple weeks and the shows that we continue to put out to these, you know, huge businesses and finance that just continue to build for the future. So it kind of gets me bullish. And even people that aren't huge fans of crypto, like Stanley Druckenmiller, is a cool little clip here I pulled for us to listen to. Again, not the hugest fan of, you know, Bitcoin or crypto in general, but just diving into stable coins full-fledged and said it's the future. So let's tune in and then we can discuss.
Crypto?
I said this a long time ago, and I'm going to say it again. It's a solution looking for a problem. I'm very sad that it ever happened as a store of value because it wasn't needed, but it's a brand and these people love it, so it's going to be a store of value. On the other hand, blockchain and the use of stable coins, if you want to throw crypto into that, tokens, incredibly useful in terms of productivity. I assume our whole payment systems will be stable coins in 10 or 15 years.
The whole payment system is going to be stable coins in 10 or 15 years. That sounds like a lot of infrastructure that needs to get built. That sounds like a lot of changes from the traditional banking system that we know and use today. And that makes a ton of sense why we're seeing all these job openings from across a plethora of different, you know, whether it's bankings or credit cards. And I'll transition us into the next topic, but I don't want to necessarily, we want to focus on this specifically, but we can broaden the conversation out too. Just this MasterCard announcement I thought was wild. I saw this, I was reading through this, and just the video that they put out here, all these different, you know, partners of this program, over 85 crypto companies partnering with MasterCard here. A ton of these, Canton right there, I was going to say, sorry, Cosmos, like how many of these have we not only had on the pod or talked about? And now they're partnering with MasterCard. This is a huge rollout, guys. So take a stab at it. Joe, we'll start with you. You can go MasterCard specific if you're aware of, you know, this, if you looked into it all, or just the whole stablecoin view as a whole. This is moving fast.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that utilizing crypto is still not, you know, second nature, right? It's still cumbersome. I don't think we use it, right? We're not using stablecoin credit cards. I mean, Brian is, but he has a Gemini branded credit card. It's not even crypto, Brian. Come on, get with it. We need him to utilize the actual crypto debit card. And that's not throwing slack on him because I'm not doing it myself. We're using crypto every day.
That felt slack.
Meaning like, you know, at a coffee shop, right? At that's coming. I read today there's an X on how Dubai is leading the stablecoin kind of momentum. They printed from 17 million billion stable coins to like 71 billion in last week. And overall, we're just seeing just wider adoption. Here, I took a picture. You can't really see it. Dang it. Oh, you can see it. So that's in a taxi cab that I took home from Japan. That was the last day. And it was, Brian, you remember this? This is the guest Snap It. And they're advertising in the back of a taxi. You take a picture, snapping pictures of, you know, food, restaurants, whatever. You get paid in Bitcoin. So that was our podcast guest from like 2 years ago. I'm not even sure I remember when they talked about it, like, we're huge in Japan. I was like, yeah, right, you know. And then 2 years later, like, I'm in the back of a taxi cab just like literally last week, and they're showing them utilizing, taking a picture and getting earned Bitcoin. So what I'm trying to say is that the utilization of crypto is slowly like perforating through the world, right? And then I go to Japan like every year. That's the first time I've seen crypto being featured on the back of a taxi cab. So with the likes of MasterCard, with the likes of stablecoins, I only see that as like a hockey stick puck upwards along with AI when it really, you know, when the floodgates really open with the Clarity Act. So, you know, we're still waiting. We're still waiting for adoption.
Yeah, well said. I mean, it's great to see all these partnerships. I was actually, when I was looking at this sheet, when you were putting this together for the show today, I was looking at this sheet and like was captivated with all the names that were kind of rolled through with MasterCard. And I was like, man, does that feel, yeah, look at this. This is insane. It is interesting with that, what the video that you played before is what, names escaped me, but what he said was crypto was a solution looking for a problem. Yes. And found a huge problem in stable coins. You don't 100% agree that crypto is a solution looking for a problem. I think it was just better for a lot of different industries, but stable coins, I 100% agree with him on stable coins and how they're going to change the way, I mean, way everything is operating and disrupt so many different markets. But this is a 87 of MasterCard's crypto partners.
So on the right here, you can see that it's made up of blockchains, card issuance, payments infrastructure, security and compliance, custody, stablecoin infrastructure, banking, bridges, exchanges, and then other. The other is Global Payments, Nexo, and PayPal. Again, it just the crypto partner program, I it's something to keep an eye on. There wasn't too many details other than all these companies are coming together to, I guess, you know, try and see how they can support collaboration. It's something to watch because I think, I guess the reason why it popped out to me so much is the names, is the announcement, and then just MasterCard as a whole. If I pull up their actual, their bio, like interesting bio here, MasterCard, turning digital assets into real world value is priceless. You know, basically changing their whole slogan there on X. So where's the puck going? Clearly it seems to be tokenization. It seems to be stable coins. And you're in the right place here listening to Crypto 101 because we've been doing this for years. We've been doing this for cycles. So if you're new here and liking it, or if you're old, please give it a thumbs up. Give the video a thumbs up. It's obviously, we love doing this. It's free. And it really helps the video get more exposure. If you're new, on the bottom right, you'll see our podcast logo. Hit it and subscribe so you can join us more often. The chat, super active today on a Friday. CJE from the USA. We have Yodel from Nigeria, guys. We have Sherry from Montreal. We got Brett from Oklahoma. Unbelievable. We're literally painting around the globe today on a Friday. We love it. But it's time to transition into what? Or no, we got one little fun one.
Wild. This one's wild. Okay,
my bad. Brian, take it away.
Oh no, it was this guy. I don't know I know some of the details, so I don't want to butcher it. I should bring the tweet up. But I know this guy lost $50 million. What was he trying to swap into Aave? I believe using USDT, and he. The interface gave him a warning, high slippage, like 99%. This was all done, does it say on here, on mobile. This guy's swapping $50 million on his mobile device. And like, I trade on my mobile a lot too, but like, you know, I might sit down at the desk and lock the door and close the windows if I was making a swap that heavy. And I even read somewhere that they were trying to return like $600K back to him in fees somewhere. But this is just, this sucks, like, for the individual. It's horrible. Like, I feel horrible for them. But this almost screams, like, when we talk about doing, like, content and media, if you ever wanted to do, like, a humorous video, like, you're doing something, you're on your mobile phone trading $50 million, you get a price impact warning, it's gonna affect you by 99.9%, and you still just jam the go button. What was going on here is the real question. But just insane. Did you guys see this? Were you reading about it at all when it happened?
So
it, like, it makes me pause when I see this stuff. I'm like, I mean, is it some, like you said, it's on mobile. They're clearly, I mean, you don't want to talk, like, you don't know, you're not there, but like, it just feels like they're being careless. So is this like some sheik's son that has, you know, buku bucks that can just flip 50 million on his phone because it's nothing? Like, who are these people?
Oh, I read into this a bit because you know, we do a lot of headline news, but reading, you know, a few inches deep helps a lot. And there's speculation that this is not a real user. It's supposedly like a fresh Binance wallet looking to launder dirty money through like this really low liquidity pool. But even with all those excuses, this shouldn't have happened. Like Aave should not, I'm sorry, whichever DeFi they utilize that protocol, the founder came out and said, yeah, this shouldn't have happened. There should have been safeguards, even though he did approve a 99% failure, you know, to swap. He did approve it. That shouldn't have happened. So yeah, still unfolding. It's pretty crazy, you know, but it's a real loss for this individual, with dirty or not. It would turn like $50 million into, you know, essentially nothing. But I would say that this person is definitely not a listener of ours, because why would you swap into Aave in the first place? Aave hasn't been performing for years.
Watch a tutorial on YouTube. I mean, we have a ton. But I mean, we went over slippage. You know, we went over this warning.
That's what we do here, guys. We educate. But yeah, if it's dirty money, I'll tell you this, Brian. If it's dirty money, not friend of the show.
No.
So we don't.
A lot of friends, but not that friend. Guy.
Not that guy. If it's dirty money, so, and he clearly doesn't listen to the Crypto 101 podcast because he's an idiot. He's our idiot of the day on a Friday here, basically evaporating $50 million. Thanks for the insight, Joe. That was great. And makes
That was so good.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. But kind of your point of, you know, we try to educate, whether it's the YouTube, whether it's the podcast or the community. So if you guys are interested in getting more access to us as a community, you know, whether it's Bryce or Brendan, you know, check the links below. We have, you know, dollar trials for our crypto portfolios. And then for the Momentum Moneymaker guys, Brian and Joe here, if you're familiar with them and you want to get more in, you know, in tune with their newsletter and their calls, I have a dollar trial for them as well in the description. Give it a click, try it out. You know, you've seen their great calls even recently, like Punch the Monkey and the others that we've covered over the last week with your, what was it? The AI bot call that you guys did. We went over that with Brian last week. That was great. So let's go over the Momentum news. And if you're somebody that, you know, enjoys the podcast and wants those quicker access to these type of calls to maybe make some of your own, you know, decisions to act on them, the dollar trial is the best way to do it. So check the link below and let's get into the fun stuff to wrap up our Friday. Pudgy Penguin back in the news, surviving the lawsuit so far. And they're launching Pudgy World.
Yeah, that lawsuit was so yesterday. I mean, that was such a blip on the radar. How about, Joe, did you see that? Because you were away. Did you see that the Penguin Clothing Company filed a lawsuit against the Pudgy Penguins?
I did.
I mean, I'm disgusted by that entire lawsuit. Not going to lie. But Pudgy World looks super cool, man. It's a free browser game that they came out with that just went live. I think there's like 12 different worlds or towns. There's no download needed, so it's just a real easy browser game. It's really just instant play for everyone. This is going to help tremendously to like grow the IP. I think there's already, they like mentioned some integrations with Pengu here. I'm pretty confident that there will be. But, you know, this is bringing millions and millions of normal people that like games, that like this IP, into the ecosystem for free. And it continues to grow the NFT IP. It's gaming, the future token utility. Hopefully that's going to be incoming. An awesome announcement. And we say it all the time. They just keep making more and more announcements. More announcements than like half the altcoins that we follow in the top 100, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, any take on Pudgy World?
Not in Pudgy World. That's the first I've seen it. I just got back from Tokyo, so I didn't really see it. But on Pudgy itself, I've seen a lot of the GIFs throughout Lunar New Year that just passed this last month. A lot of people sending it to me that has no idea what Pudgy is. So they're still penetrating a lot of markets and stealing mindshare. So good to see that.
Yeah, and then some news. I didn't see this. Glad we brought it up. Some news on the Pengu ETF.
Yeah, I put that in because that's news, not bad news actually. We just want to update everyone because we always talk about the Pengu ETF. When's it coming out? Mm-hmm. It's going to help, you know, float the bags. The Pengu ETF got recently withdrawn from Canary Capital, but the S1 registration is still up, so they can still file. And things get withdrawn all the time to get reworked. And what they're saying is that they're going to take the NFTs out of it and strictly go with the Pengu ETF, because a lot of people don't know that it got submitted as a Pengu and NFT ETF, the first of its kind, which is probably what's delayed it. A lot of people are looking for this to launch in the first quarter of this year. And so the hopes are that it's going to launch later in the year and much more speedily because of that. And Pengu itself is, you know, we kind of see it as a barometer of the meme coin market. When it moves, the meme coin market really moves alongside with it. It's really outperformed the NFT. So if you did hold Pengu during these last few weeks, it's performed pretty well, up like 20-30%.
Yeah, Pengu is so volatile, man. It's a fun ride up and down.
It's one of those, like, it's one of those that I still dollar cost average in and just throw on a wallet. And I'm like, hey, if this really does become, it's not going to become this big, but like the Disney of the Web3 or this household brand, like I'd kill myself or kick myself. Don't ban us, YouTube. Kick myself if Pengu took off for billions and billions of dollars. I just need exposure to it because they're one team they're following a Pengu ETF. They have Pudgy World. They're doing everything in every sector, and they're doing it well as well. It's not crappy work. Everything that they deliver, like the games, their mobile game, I haven't checked out Penguin World yet, but their mobile game's elite. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. There's always new updates. My kids love it.
You talk about that mobile game all the time. Like,
it's so fun.
Penguin World comes out, I'm like, oh my god, another game. Brian's not gonna get any of his gardening done this weekend. There's a new game drop. It's unbelievable. And
not a big gamer, man, but you know, I got those kids farming, you know, just in case there's some sort of an airdrop, you know.
I love it. Somebody else that seems to be, I don't know if they're building as much as they're doing some revenue, Pump Fun. We haven't talked about Pump Fun much. I know it came up in the news recently. We covered it, I think, Brian, but revenue going strong and some expansions into Ethereum.
I need somebody to break down like why this token's not going up faster. It's actually down on the day, I believe. But, you know, Pump Fun is that Solana meme coin launch pad. They're trying to do even more. And they just crossed $1 billion in lifetime revenue. The first Solana app, I believe, ever to do that. And they're printing 1 million per day in fees still, without even meme coins, like absolutely rocking. But there's a lot of coins that are getting generated now. But all these fees go straight back, or pretty much all of them, to buying the Pump tokens, which has already removed like 30% of the supply. So, and they're expanding to Ethereum, they're expanding to Base, they're expanding to Monad soon. So, it's like the Hyperliquid world of, like, I like Hyperliquid because of the app and what it does in the buybacks, in the attention it gets, and they make money. That's why I like Hyperliquid. People go there to, like, trade oil. They go there to buy Bitcoin, open longs, do perps trading. They're doing more, and Hype looks good. And that's this like interesting app in the crypto world. Nothing of its kind. Pump.fun feels like it's really cutting a niche for itself. It already has it with being this meme coin launch pad, but they're still creating an insane amount of revenue, like just pure money. And they're buying back their own token. So I get booed up on the token price, but then when I look at the chart, it doesn't look as impressive. You know, it's just over the last month is pretty flat. So I need to do a little bit more digging into it because it feels like there could be an opportunity here, to be completely honest with everyone. It feels like, you know, as the majors continue to grow and we get out of this crypto trading rut, if Pump.fun's still making $1 million a day in fees, like in the market that we're kind of in now, where like we're speculating on fertilizer stocks 20 minutes ago. Like, what happens when we start speculating on, like, on-chain assets
more? It'll come back. That was why I brought it up. That was the thesis of that. It's like, hey, the money's just sloshing around. Like, it's not going anywhere. It's going to come back.
Yeah, so when it comes back on-chain, Pump.fun definitely feels like the number one launch pad for coins. Now they're expanding to Ethereum and Base and Monad. And while this is all going on, they're the number one most revenue generated app on Solana at $1 billion, making $1 million a day in fees, buying back their own token. Like, it sounds almost too good to be true, but the token's trading sideways. So I'm going to probably do a little bit more digging, probably talk about it with our private community next week, what I dig up. But it feels like there could be a nice little uptrend scenario with a breakout with, you know, the rest of the overall market starting to generate some hype and interest. So it's definitely a token on my short list to keep eyes on.
Yeah, I mean, you heard it there first. Dive into that link below for a trial to check out what Brian might dig up around pump.fun. That's what that community is about. Again, we love doing the podcast for free, but if you want that early access to the thoughts and the research that these guys dig up, you know, that's what the community's for. It's, you know, getting that email alert sent right to your inbox right when they find it. And that, you know, that's where the action, that's where the momentum, that's where the alpha is. I saw you wore your wrecked hat today, Brian. I was like, yeah. I saw wrecked on the sheet. I saw Brian come on with a wrecked hat. I was like, oh boy, there must be some big news. And this is big. This is tying together two projects that you guys talk about a fair amount for a long time that are partnering here. So that's exciting.
Yeah, man, this is great news. Now, they've released some details here. I was looking at it right before I jumped on, but there's going to be an allow list. It sounds like, Joe, I don't know how much you dug into this as well, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some sort of distribution of tokens, right? And some rewards from what I could tell. And there's an allow list for if you hold a certain amount of REC tokens, if you hold a certain amount of BURB tokens, and then a general public allow list. So I wanted to share this with everyone because in the past, if it kind of goes the same way, these buys have been pretty lucrative. Joe, kicking it over to you because it looked like you did some research on this as well.
Yeah, you're going to get an exclusive Rekt and Vibes Moonbirds card. I'm not sure if it's physical or digital, probably digital. You're going to get Rekt Drink points, which typically means that you're going to get an airdrop of Rekt coin. And you're going to get some Burb. So it's official. You're going to get some Moonbird token. You can sell down in the open market and recoup some costs. So this probably will be a free drink because it's limited to only people who have, you know, if you're a Moonbird holder, like the NFT, like Brian and I, we own the NFT, or if you own the REC token. So people might rush to get a little bit of REC token. It's not too much. I think like 340 million REC token. So that's sort of the flywheel. It says right there. Yeah, if you have 300 Burb, 350 million REC token, that's kind of like the ticket to get in. So hopefully that
performs well. It's like well only for like $50, right?
It's like nothing. Yeah.
It's something. Yeah. I was thinking it was going to be a massive amount. $50 doesn't seem that crazy, right?
Yeah. And since it's such a big two brands coming together, I imagine you will get some wrecked tokens that marketing will push because, you know, with the Giant Eagle store purchases, they utilize that money to buy wrecked token for marketing purposes. And this would probably be a big marketing push with these two big brands. And OpenSea. So Rekt, Burb, and OpenSea. And we'll look forward to that and what that brings. So, yeah, we're still looking at Rekt to perform. And, yeah, we'll keep everyone posted on you know, what they have coming up.
Have we gotten any hints? I didn't see any. Have we got any hints about the flavor?
No.
I have a really good guess of what the flavor is. I think I mentioned it in our market update. I didn't read this, so I'm not sure. So if it comes true, I could predict the future, but I think it's going to be orange, and I'll tell you why. You guys are probably like, why? It's because Burb is owned by Orange Cap Games. That's what Spencer owns. So there's no orange flavor yet. If it's not, somebody give your guy a call. I'll do
like
this
the
for
Super
free.
Bowl. You're betting on the Gatorade color. Can we get some action on that?
Open the market up.
Open it up. Open it up. No, that's great, and definitely something to keep tabs on. I saw Trump coin on the sheet today, so I was like, oh, let's look at the price action. Sure enough, ripping up. Basically, at one point, it was up like 50%+ on the day, coming back down a little bit there, 22% on the week, and people might ask, why? Well, another luncheon. Another luncheon is in store, it seems. We've seen this before. Where, you know, top holders get invited to an event and the president will speak at it. This one's going to be at Mar-a-Lago. I believe the last one was outside of D.C., somewhere in Virginia. Anybody attending, fellas? Either of you guys attending?
Thankfully, no, because we saw it at the top and it's been down only since then. But we do know of people that attended and might possibly attend if they're still holding. If they're still holding now, they definitely should get some value for the token because it's not good holding now. But if you purchased it now, maybe you could be a top holder. Maybe it doesn't take much to get in now at only $3.83.
True. Yeah, you got to wonder who's still holding those bags. Get some liquidity there. You know, nothing we ever say is personal financial advice, clearly, but use caution around this one if you're going to go play in these streets. This was a huge winner for all of us at one point, I believe, you know, around the inauguration at that time. You could see all the way back, you know, early 25 there in January, the meme coin winter, the fun winter. It was fun times there, and it was fun times. And just, I never forget, I was sitting on my recliner. I think it was like a Thursday or night or whatever, and Trump tweeted that out, the meme coin thing, and people at the gala were tweeting it out. And I just happened to be home and got the alerts and jumped in on that. That was a fun little bag. But again, these meme streets aren't for the faint of heart here. You can see just a long trend down for the Trump coin. But hey, it's in the news. We got to cover it.
You know how he loves to like cater it with like, he had like the USA hockey team there and they were all like chowing down on McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dying to know if he's doing McDonald's, if it's like the Big Arches. That Big Arch has been on my radar for a little while, that new burger. So I want to know, I want to know what the menu is before I go and ape and attend this dinner. That's the only thing I care about.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You're not even getting a dinner. You're getting a luncheon. You're getting a gala luncheon. That means you're in at 10:30 for security check, and you're out of there at 1 p.m. for sure. That sounds like a quick in and out. A little burger reference there, too, pun intended, for those who know. Some fun Bitcoin news here. Water heaters are paying us in Bitcoin?
Yeah, I put this in. You know, you talk about winter, so it's cold. You got to heat up. Bitcoin heater. This is a real thing by Superheat. It's $2,000. And if you ask Grok, it's a meaningful return on a yearly basis based on Bitcoin prices today, maybe $300. And, you know, Brian, I think you've replaced a water boiler before. It costs like a good $1,000 for one of those, right? You might as well mine some Bitcoin for two. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm trying to get everything crypto. My house, I want to get a down payment and utilizing Bitcoin. I want to get a Bitcoin heater to mine Bitcoin. I got, you know, NFT shoes in the back. You know, what can I get more crypto in my life? And this is just another fun one that I thought would be kind of a fun input for a Momentum Money Maker segment here.
I like that.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there. I like it as well. So it's interesting. I did do some plumbing recently. That's what you're very correct of moving some hot water tanks around and reworking the plumbing, but did not need to purchase a new hot water tank. The guy, oh, I have two, sweet. And that was part of the whole deal. But the guy was like, "Hey, a few years, you're going to need a new hot water heater." And I was like, "You put this on the sheet." And I was like, I'm not just like, I'd rather just spend the $2,000 and buy Bitcoin. That's probably a better investment. But if I need a new hot water heater, like, why the heck am I not buying this one that pays me $1,000 a year in Bitcoin? You know, once this sucker's going up only, I believe I'm a believer. So it's super fun and interesting to see how these new products that come out. I didn't even know the volume. I didn't know how quick this, how much this keeps the water. I got a lot of people running hot water in my house. But if everything checks out, it might be a real winner.
That's great. I love it. Well, something to keep tabs on. If anybody else out there ends up buying it, or you guys do, let me know. It'd be fun to cover and track. We got two more quick hitters, and then since it's Friday, we will. One question came in from a friend, Great Habish. So if there's anybody else that has questions for us, toss them in the chat. We got two more topics real quick, and then we'll answer some questions and wrap up on a fun note here. What was next? Doodles? We got some Doodles news?
Oh, yeah. I put that on there because, well, we talk about like the integration of like AI and crypto all the time, and that's something we're talking about the majority of the time. The Momentum Money Makers, because it's such a hot topic. In our last two podcasts we've done, Joe and I have been like talking more and more about AI and AI agents and just how this is going to change the world very, very quickly. But Doodles, which is one of the leading NFT projects out there, they actually, I think the beta launches next week, I think on the 17th, but it's a custom AI only doodle style art, vibrant studio grade type of AI studio. So really interesting. So there's going to be everything from images to physical merch, video, sound, real-time AR, full games that you can create with this studio. And why I like this so much is that you're seeing some NFT brands like the Rec tokens, the Pudgy Penguins, Moonbirds, Doodles, that they're evolving. You know, they didn't just sit on their hands. And these are some major projects with a lot of money, too. But they're evolving, and they're really going where a lot of the action is going to be in the future here. And I thought this was really interesting. Burnt Toast is the CEO and the artist of Doodles. And I do love this, like, spin on creating this AI studio. So you could actually go to doodles.app. Doodles.app, I believe, is the website. Double check that. And you can sign up. I signed up for it for the beta version because, hey, why not? I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I think Doodles and Birds, I come to you, Brian. So we'll stay apprised. Is there anything to add, Joe?
No, we just, AI is a sizzle word now. So if you don't utilize AI, then I'd be curious about how much you're going to progress, even if it's another IP like Pudgy Penguins. So yeah, definitely something that keep in mind.
Take us back to when you could just mention AI on your project token or earnings call and everything would go up 50%. Take me back to that market. That was fun. That was a fun time. That was a fun time to be alive.
We need these fertilizer companies to start talking about incorporating AI into their their sourcing and supply chain.
Right.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. You see that, you know, that goes up 20% in a week and Schmuckers goes up 20% in a couple weeks. It's like, are these jellies and jams curing cancer? I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there. But last little note here, CFTC unveils prediction market regulations, Kalshi, Polymarket, Coinbase, and others staring down the barrel of the CFTC. I know that there's some huge lobbying going on from our sports, you know, the traditional sports betting players, your DraftKings, your FanDuel. They saw an absolute rug pull of volume when these, prediction markets went online allowing sports. Again, we know it is different. It's similar, but different. So there's a lot of regulation sloshing around, something we'll keep apprised to. But anything you're seeing specifically, Brian?
Can't win them all. That's the problem, because it's something that I feel like we both should have nailed with shorting the sportsbook stocks. Like a year ago when we were talking about how hyped the prediction markets were and how like sportsbooks were in trouble, we missed generational wealth. I mean, we'll make it all back on fertilizer, but we mixed generational wealth on shorting those stocks. But this is super interesting. I mean, the CFTC dropped their first clear federal rules for prediction markets on just yesterday. So it's going to give Kalshi, Polymarket, and Coinbase more legal framework. There's like a 45-day comment period open now. So it's going to change a little bit. So why this matters to the crypto crowd is this is going to end the gray area, gives it massive legitimate boost within what they're trying to build, and it's going to protect hopefully against state shutdowns. It's going to hopefully unlock some institutional money, and just more on-chain elections and sports are going to come about as the CFTC continues to improve regulations. I don't believe that they're going to really try to hammer them down too much. I think they want these prediction markets to grow, but we need to regulate them in some form, like crypto. We need clarity. We need regulation. We need a framework. And once we get that clarity, regulation, and framework, for kind of the research I did, it didn't seem like this was negative news. It's like, this is going to be good for the growth of prediction markets and probably the crypto rails behind it.
Yeah, just a lot of new things between tokenization, stable coins, prediction markets, crypto, it's all going so fast, which we love to see. But again, the regulation is something that probably is needed in many areas. You just hope it's done. Kind of like what we say with the Clarity Act all the time. Like, hey, something's probably going to get done here. We just hope when it is all said and done and put into the fold that, you know, it's something that can work for everybody and gives opportunity the most. So we'll wrap up with some questions. I only see one, so we'll throw it up there. If anybody else has another quick one, toss it in now before we wrap up on a Friday. Habish is saying, Brian, are you bullish on Beast? Is that the Mr. Beast token that went kind of parabolic real quick, but really, again, does not have anything to do with Mr. Beast as a whole?
Yeah, off my gut reaction, that can't be a good... Oh, I was going to say that can't be a good-looking chart. Yeah, you brought it up. Yeah, I'm not bullish on Beast unless I don't know something. Joe, correct me if I've like missed something, but there's no affiliation with Mr. Beast. This had a lot of hype when it was first created because people assumed it was Jimmy launching this or some connections to it. There might even been some articles we talked about where like we were like speculating this could be it. I don't remember. I remember it being hyped for like a couple hours.
And then it was like, yeah, you could even say a day on X or an evenings. I think a bunch of like, you know, Anon KOLs just started tweeting like, oh, we found Mr. Beast's token and threw it out there and got people excited. Like, that's my guess. And then, yeah, a lot of people got rug pulled on this one. I mean, just on CoinMarketCap alone, I mean, the volume's $0 in the last 24 hours. So, you know, this is a huge, huge stay away from our team here. Again, while we can't give you personal financial advice, this is red flags all over it for us.
Yeah, I think there's just better opportunities. Like, you know, you never say never if something would happen with this token, and but zero volume, no connection with Mr. Beast. And then there's a lot of really other interesting tokens out there. And if you want to go down the meme coin world, even some OG meme coins have been performing pretty well with the bounce of Bitcoin. But then you can even go like what Joe and I talk about a lot is this AI agent world. There's some really super interesting tokens there. And I think the path for them to really pop off is I can see the path for those to pop off before, you know, the hope that the actual Mr. Beast would endorse that token. I don't think he's going to do it.
Good point. New person here in the comments, Go Win. Welcome. Wouldn't be alive with a new member if they didn't ask about XRP. Always a fun one. Yeah, I think we've talked about XRP on the show a lot. We want everybody in the space to do well. I don't think anybody on our team loves XRP per se. It kind of tracks the market, if you will, a little bit, in my opinion. Anybody else have anything other than that?
Yeah, not a huge XRP guy personally, but like the Ripple Army is amazing. Like it trades off of a community. It trades off of a lot of like headlines. It trades off of the market, like you said, TiVo. I can't say it's like a horrible token. They tell a really good story. but when you dig into like the tokenomics. And the holdings.
You're right. Yeah. That's what we don't love, the tokenomics.
Yeah, they're kind of gross. Like they're kind of, again, I just think there's better opportunities out there. I think there's like, I love like the, I'm not saying go out and buy it at the prices. I don't even know what it is, but like the Hyperliquids are so unique with the revenue buybacks and the flywheel and the attention they're getting. I just think there's better opportunities, but I want Ripple to do well. And I think there's a path as well for this to catch some real steam, but I don't think it's because it's going to become like the international money we're all using or the story that they,
right. You know, it's so funny. Push. I have a really good friend who, you know, he's one of those people that we talk about when the market's up. Oh man, I should have bought it. And when the market's down, he's like, oh, I'm glad I didn't buy that shit type of, he's that type of guy. And he just randomly one day is like, what do you think about XRP? And I was like, oh my God. You know, I've told him, tried to give him some alpha, you know, especially when the markets were down. He didn't join, you know, he just kind of looks at me like I'm crazy. And then he asked me about XRP randomly. So I, you know, gave him the spiel about my thoughts. And then he's like, oh, I bought some. I'm like, you bought some? Like, why? Like, I've talked to you about crypto for years. You never bought anything. And he's like, yeah. It was like, who told you? He's like, yeah, my water guy. I was like, you got a water guy? Yeah, my water guy. I was like, oh wow, the water is like, you must love this water guy. It shows you what he thinks of me and my intelligence. He doesn't trust me, but he likes the water guy for financial advice.
The hottest calls around come from you on the rundown. I mean, given $9 Robinhood calls, and the list goes on and on. I mean, that water guy, we need to get this water guy's number. I need to talk to him about XRP and why he's wrong, or why he needs to get into the trenches with fertilizer. You know, he knows somebody. He's a water guy.
Dude, this guy's my friend, like long, long time friend. And just like to think that, like just the hours and hours of spending time together over the years and discussing and all that stuff. And just like one water guy just comes and just the smartest guy in the world. Unbelievable water guy. Last question here from YOLO, friend of the show, YOLO. Does the strength hold up into the weekend? I think we tried our best to cover that. Listen, it's headline driven completely. If you get a "the war's over" tweet, we won. We're no more this, no more that. Everybody's coming home. It's going to be a huge party into Monday, and then vice versa. If this thing escalates further, the Sunday night futures will continue to be red. Oil will continue to go up. It's a headline tweet driven market at this point, which is fascinating. But not something we haven't seen before. Very much different consequence wise to the tariff era of last year, but very similar to just the market's trading on headlines and tweets, and it's hard to digest on a macro level. But that's what Brian and Joe do best, is finding the opportunities in the momentum markets, finding, you know, the gems that people don't see coming. So again, if you guys want more access to our team, please check out the links below. We have some great, you know, trials there. So you can just, you know, for a dollar, come on in and see what it's all about. We would love to have you get in the mix each and every day with us, instead of just, you know, once or twice a week on the pod. Get those first alerts, get the action, get the education. It's super fun to do this. I hope everybody has a great weekend. I will be back Monday with our long lost friend, Brendan. Last time we had him on, we told you it'd be a, you know, good time to get in to his momentum bull run course, because the charts were looking rangy and we needed his guidance. A lot of strength since then, so I'm sure everybody that's in that course has been doing well. But we're going to pull him back, get some information on the charts. I hope everybody enjoys their weekend. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Joe. Thank you to everybody listening out there, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Cachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Cachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.